for the entire 7 years that you've been here, you know, I'm not out on Moody. He did make two big 50-yarders. Guess what? That's your third-round pick that you took.
Yeah.
High draft capital on a kicker who's missing kicks. Getting older. The NFC, Lions, Packers, all these upcoming teams. Guess what? They were still upcoming, and we struggled.
Great call, Chris. Great call. Hold on, let me get to legal. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The segment is sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit Go to State Lumber. Chris in San Jose hit on all the points, man. It's a lot of points. Not saying, though, that, boy, he's not even the best coach in the division.
Well, I mean, look. It's early, but if you were to pull a Minnesota Viking fan, would you trade Kevin O'Connell for Shanahan?
Probably not.
I don't think they would this morning, right? This morning.
No, they love Kevin O'Connell up there.
You know what I mean?
They love KLC.
I think, where he's going at, right? Like, so anyway, point being is, I think the bigger takeaway, they are an old version. Whatever their age is, a lot of these guys have more wear and tear. Forget the 2019 run, because that was so long ago. You played three extra playoff games in 2021.
You know,
three in 2022, three, and but here's the thing. I look at Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly.
But hear me out. They've played a lot of playoff games, but they've infused the roster with a ton of draft picks. When you made that Trey Lance trade, it did deplete some of your draft picks, and you're starting to see some of the misses come to light, and some of the not having those draft picks in the cupboard. Not having Ricky Pearsall right now is affecting them. I know it's not their fault.
Well, we don't even know who Ricky Pearsall is yet, but I hear you.
Again, when they moved off Tyreek, they used that to get themselves a center. They got themselves some defensive players. They got Chenault, and they got all these players, and you're seeing a younger roster. You have to play some of the younger guys. For example, they're playing Isaac Yiddum. Isaac Yiddum sucks. He stinks. Renardo Green made a penalty in the end zone. I'd rather see Renardo Green.
But they are playing younger guys, though. We see Tig Brown. We see Diamondre Lenore. They tried on Ambry Thomas. Ambry Thomas just wasn't good enough. Defensive line. You know, that's where the biggest misses have come to me, is on the defensive line. The defensive line has been an issue here. Let's go to Gabriel in Orange County. Gabriel, what's happening?
What up, Bonte? What up, Shasky?
What's up, Gabriel?
Man, pissed. Bro, straight up, I know you're livid. I can hear it, Jasky, but look at it. I'm going to start off with a note of positivity. But what did I talk about last week? That great Gatsby moment, we're all holding our breath right before the game started for Brock Purdy. He balled out.
Yeah, he's
man,
great.
I'm so proud of him. I mean, like, he balled out. Him and Jennings had career games, and I think we're going to see more and more of that, because his confidence level is at an all-time high right now. You can see the way he moves in the pocket, the way he – just his instincts. It's incredible to see how he's developing even more now. And look at – go back and watch a handful of Ronnie Bell drops. He does this stupid little hop. Like, there was nobody on him. Why did he hop on that 40-yard pass? Why did he do that little hop? The ball in his face, and it wasn't even that high. And go back and watch it. He always does that. You know what it needs to be? It needs to be a Ronnie Bell hop at a hotel somewhere. I don't want to see him on the field ever again. That guy is gone. Gone. And then Campbell, he doesn't even know where he's at. He's lost the entire game.
He's not good. Mark Sanchez said it over and over. His specialty is not playing against the pass.
Here's what I don't understand. And like, you're not the coach. It's like, if I can see it, how can they not see it? And that's the question that I ask. And like, I get you don't want to play young guys. I understand. Like, hey, you got to earn your spot. Well, you're playing Dominic Pooney. All right, and he looks like he's better than whoever else you had at right guard the last couple years.
Aaron Banks, left guard. Yeah. You've invested in him.
Why not play? I don't know. D Winters got hurt in this game, I guess, and came out or whatever. Play Bethune. Stop playing Devondre Campbell.
He's not good.
Right? Here's the funny thing. You had an opportunity. You know, Al Shaeri could have been had by anyone. He went back to the Texans.
Right.
You went for Devondre Campbell instead of Al Shaeri? I would have just gotten
Al Shaeri was there last year. He was in Houston last year.
No, I know, but he was also
free. I know.
We're going to renege him and allow him to resign. And I'm saying to myself, like, why are we doing this? Why are we going back to this guy? He's not good. Devondre Campbell's not good. He hasn't been good in preseason. He hasn't been good in regular season.
Well, you got no options right now. Obviously, D. Winter's getting hurt before the season opener hurt D. Winter's. It set him back. It set him back getting hurt in training camp. So Bethune, maybe he's not ready. Maybe they see something in Bethune right now that we don't see, and they're like, well, we're not. I don't know if he's ready. But the overall theme I got yesterday, it may be the last 2 weeks, the spirit and energy that Dre Greenlaw brought every single week to compliment Fred Warner is sorely missed
right now.
They miss Dre Greenlaw. There could be good news about Greenlaw, though, because I heard he's practicing. Once he's ready to go and he's cleared to go, he could be in this lineup right away. We may be seeing the Seattle game on Thursday night. We may see Kansas City. But Greenlaw, the return is coming very, very soon. I want to squeeze in another call before the break because, look, it's unfortunate they lost. Juwan Jennings became the second player in franchise history to register 10 or more catches with 150 more yards and 3 touchdowns. You know the other guy to do that in franchise history? Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice. Juwan Jennings was special. Let's go to Rhea in Lancaster. She was at the game. You know she was at the game. And I know she's ticked off right now. What up, Rhea?
Good morning, hon. Yes, I was at the game. Vibes were great. Everybody's high-fiving. We're getting along. Everything is fantastic. And then Shanahan decides the field goal before the missed one. He decides to, you know, kick the field goal. I turned to my friend and I said, that was a mistake. We needed to be up more points. I didn't feel comfortable with that.
So you would have gone for
it. You mark
it. Not to cut you off. You would have gone for it on that fourth down after Mason got stuffed.
Yeah, what were they, 4th and 1 from the goal?
About 4th and 2.
Yeah, give or take inside the 10.
Hey, listen, I'm not mad at it. Rhea, I'm not mad. They went for it last week in Minnesota.
It just felt like the defense was on their heels, didn't it? Like, our defense, and they weren't getting stops. Like, they had no momentum.
Exactly. So I just, like, you needed to go for it, and you needed to get that score. You needed to get, a field goal was not enough. So then, also, Trent is going to run out of veins for all these IVs that he's needing to get. And Ronnie Bell can't catch a case. Why are you depending on him when Juwan Jennings is so good through this whole game? He's climbing over his defender and getting the ball. You know what I mean? Like, he's making catches that are amazing. Why are you picking Ronnie Bell for a situation like that? He hasn't been good for several seasons.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah. So I just want, and I want to also point out, Brock, this was the most comfortable lately that I felt about Brock. I loved Brock yesterday. Shanahan needs to be okay with him scrambling and stop making him stiff and in the pocket.
Totally.
We need him to scramble every now and then. And I need Shanahan to be okay with that. I love you guys. Have a good day.
I thought his scrambling was magnificent yesterday.
He was sitting in that pocket.
He was so good.
There are times, Mark Sanchez is like, he can get a cup of coffee right now. Dude, Purdy was superb. Yes. You know what it is, too, about Purdy? And it is, and I don't think we've ever discussed it like this.
What's that?
He's a fun watch.
He's a gamer!
So he's not only a gamer, he's got pocket presence, but he's fun to watch. Like, if I was a casual fan, so D. Wright was at the game, Darrell Wright.
Yeah.
And he just asked me, he's like, are you down here? I was like, nah, I didn't make the trip. And he goes, hey man, this quarterback is good.
He's fun.
He goes, I don't get the rhetoric around Brock Purdy. The guy's a good quarterback, and he's fun to watch. He's entertaining.
How about the scramble going into that field goal possession where he scrambles and slides on his butt inbounds?
Yep. Inbounds.
And I'm like, this guy's
running.
IQ is through the roof.
He was throwing dimes.
I'm telling you, the play for me, he had a couple really nice scrambles, but the play for me, third down, where he pump fakes, he's rolling to the left, he dives in midair. I said, bro, if Mahomes did that play, sticking the ball, it would have been on every single highlight package today. Yep. Nah, he was awesome.
Purdy.
He's a gamer.
He's so fun to watch. I thought that. I think I tweeted that. I was like, hate him or love him, the guy just is a gamer.
100%.
He feels it. He's a damn good quarterback, man. I had a lot of fun. All right, we're going to get to Bay Rob coming up. Bay Rob, I see you out there. Say a whole Robinson there. Bruno, we got Rocky and Vallejo, Rolando and Napa, Maurice and Sec. We got everybody. We're going to get all your calls. Everybody. 888-957-9570. We're going to play a soundbite from Dante Whitner on the other side. And is this situation critical? Is this situation critical? Look, I'm not overlooking the New England Patriots like Sunday. We're not there yet.
How can
but
you?
I'm not looking overlooking them. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I may need to be at that game. Because The hell? We thought losing to the Rams was one thing. Well, we haven't even got through an hour and a half of the show yet. We're just getting cooking here on the Russ. More coming up, brought to you by Save Mart and Lucky California.
I thought special teams was a huge edge for us today. I mean, for Josh Cardy, for Ethan Evans, for Alex Ward to be able to, you know, make their kicks in crunch time, the extra points to tie it up, the field goal to ultimately win it. What a cool deal for Xavier Smith. You know, great job aggressively fielding that thing. Got some blocks, got to the sideline, got us in, you know, good field position right off the jump. And then Ronnie Rivers converting on the fake punt. I thought that was a real difference for us.
What up, what up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Man, that was Sean McVay right there. Right up, shout out to Big Punch. Shout out to everybody. We went to movie night in Burlingame, Friday night Burlingame. And I met my boy Kevin, who's driving Sam Tram, Shasky. Big Kevin driving the Sam Tram saying, I listen to the Rolls all the time. And he was chilling next to his family. I forget their names. I think Nancy was one of them. I forget the guy's name. But little sweets, they were serving out snow cones. Serving out snow cones, right? And we're all feeling good about the Niners. Everybody's out there Niner gear. Everybody's out there Niner gear saying, gotta have this one against the Rams. You could bury the Rams. You could send them to 0-3. Now you give them life. Now they bye week without Cooper Kupp, without Puka Nacua, without all their offensive linemen. And now they're back in the race. And now the Niners, not only do they lose to the Rams, you fall two games behind Seattle. And I don't know if Seattle's a fraudulent 3-0 or not, but they're 3-0. And they play in Detroit next Monday night. And if they win that game on a Monday night stage, then all of a sudden we got a new contender in the NFC West. Now all of a sudden Seattle Seahawks are for real. So it's a bad loss, a bad loss. He misses Xavier Smith, Shasky, the 38-yard punt return to get him in the field goal range. Special teams, special teams, special teams. The great equalizer in the NFL.
I don't understand. There's so many issues. So, like, okay, great example. Great example. Like, they're depleted. So that is a reality. Like, you are hurt. But the Rams are more hurt.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think it carries a lot of water.
No,
but on the final punt, your starting tight end in this game, Saubert, is running down the field on punt coverage. What are we doing? What are we doing?
And he misses the tackle.
Someone needs to explain that to me. So the guy who's been out there running routes over and over and over, blocking his butt off, he's now going to run down on punk. You have that few bodies? That's on you. That's on you as an organization on picking who you dress and who you don't dress. Mm. And when a guy doesn't see the field, and then you're forced to have your starting tight end try to chase someone after playing 40-something, 50 minutes of football, 60 minutes of football, like, there's so many little roster decisions that just drive me nuts. I know that the little things bother me. That third and one, seeing them take Ayuk off the field, Jennings off the field. I want an explanation as to why they weren't on the field. You bunched it up. You had Conley out there with Braden Willis. Braden Willis?
Braden Willis is not a good football player. He's not a good football player.
And it was so predictable.
It was predictable. But,
and of course you got stuffed.
Right, now that I'm thinking about it, when you run a play like that, in my head, I think, okay, maybe it's two-down territory here. Maybe you are going for it on fourth down. You're going to run it here to see if you can get it. If not, you line up the shotgun on fourth down, get a little quick out or a quick slant or whatnot, and get the first down, get the touchdown, and put the damn game away. That's my problem. When you have an opportunity to put games away, you have to kick the door in and put the damn game away. But you kick the field goal, and it runs a frill of gun and said, we're still only down 10 points. We're okay. We're not out of it yet. And Ray and Lancaster makes a good point. I didn't think about it too much yesterday in real time because I was just like, damn, we got stuffed on third and one. Should have scored a touchdown. You're on a long drive here. You stabilized the game in the third quarter. Anyway, let's get to the lines, man. Bay Rob in the city. Bay Rob. What a disastrous loss, man. That was bad. Bay Rob, what's happening, man? Long time no talk, Bay Rob.
What's up with my guys, man? I miss you guys. I know baseball season was long, so I kind of quieted down. Went to the game last week. I was frustrated about that. That's why I didn't even call y'all, but I didn't take it for too much. But this week now, don't worry. This stuff with Shanahan and all this stuff going on with this team, it don't even make no sense, man. Our main players that were supposed to come in and be on point with this team, they not doing their job. Ayuk, he's not doing his job. Jennings looks like our number one receiver. That don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? For the money that he making, but he looks like our number one receiver. Your boy, he held out. Trent, he held out all his long. Now look at him. He IV every week. IV Trent. That's what we gonna start calling him. And the point that we heard already in the defensive line, Hargrave is starting to remind me of the dude that our boy that just left that was in the middle. I can't think of his
Javon
name.
Kinlaw. Javon Kinlaw.
I've been complaining about it. Armstead. That's Hargrave. He our new Armstead right now. Can't get him to do nothing. Man, it ain't making it no better for Bosa. What Bosa doing? Come on, Bosa, you want this money? Hey, man, I'm being so excited when I see T.J. Watts. It don't even make no sense. T.J. Watts over there causing hell by himself. By himself. Like, I'm just frustrated. And then Shanahan making me even more frustrated because I don't know whether he know or not, McVay and all these other coaches in these leagues that came from up under him and they done went to other teams now. Yeah, they taking this stuff personal. They taking it real personal. And McVay showed it yesterday like, yeah, okay, I'm going to show you what time it is without my two top wide receivers. So Shanahan better get his act together. And y'all know how I feel about Shanahan already. Huh. I'm trying to keep this simple. It's the beginning of the season. But you better get us up on our horse, man. That's all I got to say. Get us up on our horse. We all frustrated. We all feel like we getting poked with the same thing like there's a voodoo doll because we all seeing the same thing, man. And it's frustrating us and driving us crazy. So he ain't got too long with me, man. You already know what I feel about him. And I'm still frustrated because we don't got no deep threat. We don't got no deep threat. Everybody else got one, but we don't got one.
Wow. Wow. Bay Rob bringing in the heat here. You know, Shasky brought up Javon Hargrave, and I keep going back to this name, Gabe Wilkins. Gabe Wilkins. 49er fans, look up Gabe Wilkins and the money he signed with the 49ers at the time for the Green Bay Packers. And this is at a time where the Green Bay Packers were at the height of their powers. And when the Niners signed Gabe Wilkins, you're thinking, why would they just let Gabe Wilkins walk if he's any good? Oh, wait, he's not good. And he stole money from the DeBarter loss. Well, Javon Hargrave, I was thinking to myself, now, Philly had a surplus of defensive linemen, I get it, but Howie Roseman doesn't let good players get out the building. He's proven that over and over and over. The GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, general manager, GM, is short, right? In case anybody forgot. He let Javon Hargrave walk. And we signed him. We're thinking, boy, why would Philly let him walk? And right away, my buddy Philly said, Hargrave, we got Jalen Carter coming up. Fletcher Cox, he's okay. And he was right. I don't even know if Hargrave's just okay. It's been Emma. Did you watch him mic'd up last week? It was the most uninspiring mic'd up segment the 49ers.com website has ever put out.
How many times in the second half, I'm watching the game on 95.7 The Game. We did like a YouTube like watch with Bush.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I saw that. That
and
was pretty good.
I'm going, he's got way too much time. I'm talking about Stafford. Yeah. He's got way too much time.
Oh, the pocket's clean.
Look how clean that pocket is. Way too much time. Way too much time. And the amount of times that the Niners defensive line gets stonewalled and just gives up drives me crazy. The part that I have a hard time understanding. There have never been more athletic freaks on the defensive line and an outside linebacker available in college. It feels like right now more than ever. Maybe I'm just a prisoner.
Maybe a prisoner because we have some athletic freaks. Derek Thomas, Lawrence Taylor.
I'm saying the plethora of them.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And the Niners never draft any of them. And so there's two areas. Like, we could talk about deep threat and let's see what Jacob Cowens. I don't know why he wasn't a part of the game plan yesterday. He did a pop pass to Ayuk, which went nowhere. No one fooling anybody. That should have been Cowens' play, just to get him a touch. But, like, you have never invested in a ball-hawking free safety. You always love the box safety.
Right.
Right? That's what they love. They love the box safety. They don't like the free safety who's a ball-hawker, a guy that's going to cover.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward's really the only guy that they've played who's a cover safety at that position during their tenure. And then they don't have the athletic linebacker, outside linebacker, D end. They have old guys. It's just, let's go after old guys.
It seems stiff, methodical, robotic, right?
Predictable.
The safety's position, Tick Brown is playing his ass off, but he's not a free safety. Hufanga is not a free safety. Mm-mm. So now you don't have speed.
I don't know at if Ward, free safety. I mean, Mustafa is either.
You know, Malik Mustafa, yeah, he's a hitter.
He's a hitter.
He's a,
exactly,
he's a run guy. So I don't think you have a free safety on this football team. And that's a problem as guys go over the top. You know, you bring up Hargrave and the clip is out. Moody misses the 55-yard field goal, Shasky. And we've all seen the clip now. First play after Moody misses the 55-yard kick. The effort from the defensive line.
It's so bad.
I mean, these are high-paid guys. Now, these are high-paid guys. And I heard from multiple people, the effort on that play and the effort. Like, I got a text from somebody. I'm not even going to say their name, Shasky. I'll tell you during the break. But the text was, Jordan Mason, Purdy, Juwan Jennings, Pooney, Fred Warner, Drake Greenlaw. Spacebar. Those may be the only guys who really give a damn to win. Bosa was omitted from this list. Ayuk's omitted from this list. You know, obviously, Kittle and Debo are hurt, so he's not going to put them on this list. And I think CMC's a guy who does care about winning. But think about that. A takeaway from a guy who played in this game. Mason, Purdy, Juwan Jennings, Pooney, Fred Warner, Drake Greenlaw, the only ones who give a damn about winning.
And finally, you know, I don't ask people to, you know, be out of character, but just show me that something affects you. And finally, yeah, Bosa at the podium yesterday was like, we need to kind of wear this one. And it was like, about time you show you have a pulse, dude. Like, again, he's one of my favorite players, and he also drives me crazy because there are times where he's very indifferent in post games. And the fact that he finally said something to me, like, that resonated.
I think we have to feel the loss for sure. We can't just move on and act like it's fine. You feel the loss, and you just start stacking week by week.
When you are
it's definitely a rough start, but there's a ton of football.
When you're a young player that's coming into the league and you're quiet by nature, I don't expect you to walk into the locker room and be a leader. When you're 5 years in and you won a DPOY
and you
got paid $120 million,
and you got the C on your chest,
you better start acting like one. Now, Patrick Willis was a very quiet guy, but by year four, five, six, seven, he became the team leader.
He started breaking the team down.
Absolutely.
He started breaking the team down saying, we got to have it, we got to have it. And he became that inspiration, that emotional leader. Bosa may never be that. Because Joey's not that.
But you can still pick and choose your spots
right
on when to be vocal. And I think that this team needs to hear from someone like Bosa today. The other thing I was thinking about, and I just, the reality is here. We're here with Ayuk. Like, last year was a great year. Was it a career year? Is he even going to come close to that?
Well, here's my philosophy with the whole wide receiver position. Before, because I want to play this Bosa cut. Bosa said, and this is why I'm not going to panic, because they're 1-2. Because they have been here before.
Yeah, but it's two
definitely
bad games.
A rough start, but there's a ton of football to be played. We've been through some tough stretches before, but we just have to stay together. We have the guys to do it. So
I know it was different when they had Garoppolo at quarterback, but the sky was falling when they lost 11-10 to Denver, and they were 1-2. And then they dropped to 3-4 after losing to Atlanta and the way that they lost to Atlanta that season. What was it, 2021 or 2022? The year they obviously when Purdy's coming out party and they traded for CMC. And they went to the bye week at 4-4. They went to the bye week at 4-4. Now if the Niners can get to 5-3 before the bye week this season, I feel really, really good. So I'm not gonna panic too much. But when you talk about Brandon Ayuk in the wide receiver position, here's what I don't get. You draft Ricky Pearsall in the first round. And now some people may assume that was Ayuk's replacement. The Niners were fielding calls on Debo and Brandon Ayuk. That gets lost in the sauce. But number two, when you had Juwan Jennings coming off of that Super Bowl, where he did score two touchdowns, and he has made big plays on third down over and over and over again, and you draft Ricky Pearsall, well, I don't know what Ricky Pearsall is. But boy, with that pick, Ricky Pearsall may not contribute at all this season. We have no idea. When's he going to get on the field? How many times are the Niners run 4 and 5 wide receiver sets? Or is Kittle going to be part of that equation? You get what I'm saying?
It was a luxury pick considering the other needs on the team.
You had a lot of other needs on this team.
If you weren't going to move off of both receivers.
Right, but you didn't move off both receivers. You gave Ayuk the money. Debo's still here. You have Juwan Jennings. You get Jacob Cowling, and now you got Ricky Pearsall. Where's Ricky Pearsall going to play? So now all of a sudden you got a first-round pick. Well, I don't know if he's even going to play. So if things do go awry, I would not rule out. Now, I don't think the Niners season is going to nosedive. But who's to say does he get traded in the offseason or Debo gets traded in the offseason? I don't know because Juwan Jennings is coming on. Again, he's the second 49er ever They have over 10 catches, 150 yards, and 3 touchdowns in a single game. The only other guy to do it in franchise history, the great Jerry Rice.
It was a signature game.
It's unbelievable.
It was a signature game. I would say, and again, I think Debo's had some big games. The playoff game against Seattle is one that comes just off the top of my head, over 150 yards and multiple touchdowns. He was dynamic. Can you think, I mean, honestly, B, off the top of your head, not going a deep dive, can you think of a game that has even come close for Ayuk?
The Detroit game, NFC Championship game. He made the Ladybug catch, and he scored a game when it scored a go-ahead touchdown on third down. That was huge. He had a big third down catch against the Green Bay Packers in a nasty game where he was getting doubled and tripled.
Couple of plays. And Purdy.
But those were massive plays. Massive plays. Game-clinching plays.
I mean, Jennings was going to be the Super Bowl MVP. I just say, like, the way that this team, and I think it's more about team building for this squad with this coach.
Right.
It was poor allocation of money if you're going to use him this way and you're going to spend that much money. Well, I don't think it's arguable.
Well, if you were just, well, this is the Niners' mistake. This is why I get on the front office where before the draft, you knew that you didn't really want to go there with Brandon Ayuk when it caved into money. They just move off of him before the draft and get a player. Instead, now, and you knew this was coming, every catch, every reception, every drop is going to be magnified when it comes to number 11, Brandon Ayuk. Now, he got the targets yesterday. I wish he got the same targets in the Super Bowl. But I kind of take a step back with the Super Bowl because I say, boy, I have to watch a Baldy's breakdown with it. Oh, okay, he was getting bracketed. Okay, Kansas City was paying attention to him. Oh, wait, when he saw one-on-one, he did win his one-on-one matchups. Right now, he's just not in football shape. It's not good. It's not good at all. He's got to get the swagger back. He's got to start making plays. I wish the deep ball was connected with him. That would have just calmed the waters tremendously. But now when you get a loss now. Now it's like, I told you this on Friday. Say, what does his stat line need to be? He's got to go for at least 100 yards.
It feels
he didn't come close to that.
Every ball thrown his way, I hold my breath right now. And maybe I'm over-exaggerating it. I hope we're not going. It's got a Jordan Poole feel to it.
Wow.
Where it's just like the guy's confidence looks shot.
It's not.
He made plays, but his confidence looks shot.
It doesn't look the same. It doesn't look the same.
Like he was an energy player, and he doesn't have the energy right now.
He's got to get the swagger back now.
He had last year, guys, by the way, not to cut you off, 7 games in which he had 100 or more receiving yards.
Yeah, second in franchise history.
First game, obviously, 8 receptions, 129, a couple touchdowns against the Steelers.
Right. One second. He was averaging like 18 a catch. So
it was second in the league, yards per catch.
You catch 4 or 5 balls, you're right at 100, you know?
Second in the league in yards per catch, so he's getting the chunk plays. And again, he had 7 100-yard games, and now second only to Jerry Rice in franchise. This franchise has had nothing but great receivers, littered with great receivers in the history of the 49ers. And he was second in franchise history with 7 100-yard games in a regular season.
And he missed week 3, obviously. He's inactive against that Thursday night football game against the Giants. And basically didn't play in the last game of the year because it didn't really matter that much.
That's unbelievable. Monster numbers. All right. Dante Winter yesterday. Before we get to the lines, we're going to get to Rocky and Vallejo. Just hang on tight real quick. I want you to react to this. Dante Winter, 49ers post game, NBC Sports Bay Area. Here's Dante Winter. Is it a code red? Is it time to panic?
Code red. I'm ready to hit the red button.
Ooh.
And mainly because they're not doing anything well. They're not stopping the run. They're not setting the edge. They're not getting consistent pressure on the quarterback. They're not stopping the explosive plays. They're not tackling well. They're not communicating well. They're not playing leverage. They're not doing anything well right now. And the margin for error is very slim in the National Football League. And when you're not right where you're supposed to be, you don't have the continuity on defense, it's easy for teams and quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford and of his caliber to dissect you. So they're going to have to have a players only meeting this week and get back to basics and get back that championship DNA and identity and play physical within the trenches.
Week 3, we're talking about players only meeting.
Did you order the code red?
Hey, well, Coach Pagano, who's always on the Pat McAfee show, said they asked about players only meetings. This is hilarious. Hilarious soundbite. But he goes, you know, when I heard that they were having a players only meetings, I went back to my office and I called my wife. I said, hey, let's just go ahead and put the house on sale. Let's go ahead and put the house on the market because we're not going to last long if we're already having players-only meetings. Now, I don't think Shanahan's going anywhere, but the fact that Dante Winter is requesting a players-only meeting after week 3 is alarming.
Outside of Fred, and I would throw Kittle in the mix as well, who has excelled since signing their contract?
Juwan Jennings signed an extender.
All right. The mega deals on this
team. Mega deals. Well, Trent played well. I know it's not popular to say right now, but Trent, when he did get his money, he played at all pro level.
Well, he looks like right now he's on a farewell tour.
Right now.
It looks like he's ready to go to Arizona. But
you asked me, though. He played well when he got his contract a couple of years ago, and he threatened to go to Kansas City.
Okay, should have had
to get on the phone and say, hey, hold on tight.
I'll give you that.
Jimmy Ward, I thought he played well when he signed his contract.
Okay.
He played well. Now,
it's going back 5 years ago, but you're right.
That's what it is.
Well, Armstead was up and down.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say more, not even close to what we're expecting. Debo hasn't been as good as we wanted, even though we all love Debo, and I still believe in him, but I don't think it's been as good as I would like. And then I'm looking at Ayuk early on. It doesn't look great. Bosa hasn't looked great since signing his. Like, there's a level of, hey, I got mine, and it's tough to see as a fan.
Well, Bosa's got to get going. And Nick Sorensen, are we sure Nick Sorensen's going to end the year as defensive coordinator? What is going on? I mean, we talked about Steve Wilkes. Trust me, I saw on Twitter yesterday, our boy BPA was spamming me, and all of a sudden, Bonte, I'm winning. I saw the tweet. He goes, I'm willing to admit that Wilkes is better than Sorensen.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
Do you know what people are calling him?
Who, Nick Sorensen?
Yeah.
What are they calling him?
Colt Seavers, the fall guy.
Oh, well, I mean, Nick Sorensen, Steve Wilkes was.
You didn't like that fidelity.
Shanahan was at the Chris Carter forum where you have to have a fall guy.
Favorite is like, Shanahan, we knew it was coming. You knew the fake punt was coming, and yet you looked like you never knew that the fake punt was coming. Are you talking about?
Let's hear from Fred Warner before we go out to the lights. Let's hear from Fred Warner on the fake punt.
But at the end of the day, sudden change, you're going to be in those situations throughout a game. Obviously, you don't want to be in that situation, but offensively, we can't give up 7 points or 6 points right there. We got to hold them either to a field goal, get a takeaway. We had no takeaways today. Usually, if we're minus in the takeaway margin, we're going to have a hard chance of winning.
Diamondo Lenore on the special teams miscues.
With the new way that they have to play special teams, it's kind of difficult. So, I mean, it's kind of everyone getting a feel for it, I would say. I don't think it's I think it's just a learning curve, we're going to try to be better, next week, to capitalize and finish the game. I feel like that was one of our goals this year, is finishing, and we're doing a pretty bad job at finishing.
It was a punt, not a kickoff, it wasn't the new rule. It was something we've been doing for 60 years, which is a normal punt, and we didn't cover it well. Now, the finishing part, 100%.
Purdy on his pass to Ronnie Bell before we get to the lines.
Oh, Ronnie Bell.
Look, this is leadership right here from Brock Purdy. Leadership.
He had a double move, and that was the look we wanted, and he got his guy. And, by the time I got to him, I think I was just trying to give him a chance, and I don't know if I had enough juice on it just from where I was at in the pocket. So just try to give him a chance, and obviously I think I could still give him a better ball and everything. So, but he's a young guy. I love him, man, and we all got Ronnie's back. So we're going to continue to need him and build him up, and we're all in this together, man. It's a team sport, man. So it's not one player, one play here. It's all of them.
Leadership from Brock Purdy, who played – I thought if you looked at his, 31st start yesterday? I thought yesterday was by far, it was the top three performance from Brock Purdy. I was blown away, and it was a lot of fun watching him do what he did yesterday. That's what we wanted. Wanted to see him play without those guys, Shasky. He played exceptional football without those guys.
Brock's too classy, so I'll say it for him. Ronnie Bell's got to catch that damn ball. And that ball hit him in the face mask. Well, it went right through both hands. Catch the ball, Dougie. Well, make a play.
He doesn't make plays. Let's go to Rocky and Vallejo. Rocky, what's happening?
Marco Luciano.
Hey, man, you guys are on fire, man. Great show, dude. This is very therapeutic. Okay, I want to mainly focus on the defense. And these are small changes I personally would make. Number one, I would put Hargrave only in on third down. Bring in Jordan Elliott. He's a big boy. He can stop the run. Hargrave only on third down. Two, number 45, Flanagan Flowers. He only plays 10-12 plays a game because he's a strong side linebacker. But, man, that guy cannot play. He fell down, like Chachi said earlier. Bring in Curtis Robinson, the preseason stud. And then lastly, Yadam, number 22, got to go. Let's go with the young guy, Green. I know he got a flag. He only played one play. Let's go with the young guy. Let's see what he got. And I think the bad cuts, I wanted to see Jalen Graham. Man, they let that guy go. Sam Womack, let him go. These are, I put those on Lynch, man. Lynch. You know what? Hate to say it. I'm not the biggest fan of Lynch either, man, to be honest with you. But that's all I got. I'll take your guys' comments off the air.
You wonder, Shasky, real quick, when he talks about Lynch, and I think Lynch has done a superb job, but I had this thought go through my head yesterday after the game. When does it catch up to you when you lose all the assistants on the coaching staff and the front office? I wonder. Now, it feels like this draft has been really good. So far, so good, right? But I do wonder, how much does that hurt a team? Do you recover from that? Maybe it's a minuscule thing. But I do wonder, losing all these guys they've lost in the front office and the coaching staff, if it's starting to catch up to them, because guys are in a position they don't need to be in. Nick Sorensen's not ready to be a defense coordinator. He's just not.
Okay. You could have hired anyone from outside the building. Anyone! You could have hired anyone. So I get your point.
Yeah, they try to get Spagnuolo, right? Yeah, they try to get Spags. They try to get guys.
So Spags is going to leave Andy Reid and Mahomes to come to you.
No, but they try to get him. They try to get him. They try to get Belichick to call the defense.
Belichick is not working for Kyle.
But to your point, they tried to get these guys. So all
Joe
I'm saying
that he's trying to get a date with Howie Berry.
Relax for a second. I'm just saying, losing all these guys, what does it catch up to you? They tried to replace these guys. They couldn't. They couldn't replace these guys. You lost Adam Peters to Washington. You lost Grant Carthon to Tennessee. I mean, Grant Carthon may be getting fired soon anyway, because Tennessee doesn't look like they're ready to play. But you know what I'm saying? You lost a lot of guys. When does it catch up to you? At some point, they tried to get guys to come here. And they come here. They didn't come here.
Monte,
they said no.
Monte. The team themselves wanted to play a certain way. They allowed the players on defense to dictate it. And I get when you have high paid players that you really like, but this is the bed they made and they have to lay in it. The players were adamant that they didn't want a scheme change. So they went with Sorensen. Yes, they sniffed around other people. I don't think they ever had intentions of actually getting a different scheme in here, unless it was Spagnuolo. And Spagnuolo was never going to leave Kansas City.
No, he's not leaving.
I mean, that's like, hey, you know, it's the mid-2000s and we're the Giants. We want to get Joe Torre. You're not getting him. Like, no, he's not leaving that situation. Why would Spagnuolo? And I get, like, we tried.
No, he didn't leave. No, but if you're saying getting in some other coaches, like, well, they tried. That's all I'm saying.
What other team in the league was going to elevate Nick Sorensen to DC?
No, nobody. That's my whole thing. That's why I said, be careful what you wish for when it comes to Steve Wilkes. Because Steve Wilkes' defense never gave up 20 points in the second half.
You know what's coming.
They gave up 6 in the second half to Minnesota. They didn't give up much to Cleveland. All right? Cincinnati was struggling to the picks. Just saying. We gave Steve Wilkes a lot of heat. Now I don't even think he's the greatest defensive coordinator in the world. It's the reason why he's well-traveled. But we just elevated Nick Sorensen like it was nothing.
Well,
like it was like D'Amico Ryans is one thing because he played at a high level middle linebacker, Robert Saleh. But I'm willing to give Nick Sorensen the same grace we gave D'Amico Ryans or Robert Saleh. I just don't see anything from this game. I don't see anything from this defense. I don't see any creativity. And I see a lot of slow, unathletic players on that end of the football that really don't know what they're doing. And there's a problem defensively.
They have no other choice but to see if they can turn around. So
you may have to promote Brandon Staley at some point. Oh, God. Dude, Kevin O'Connell undressed Nick Sorensen.
Yeah.
This is a week after George Odom was playing press man on Justin Jefferson, for crying out loud. And then this week, Sean McVay was in his play sheet saying, I'm so far ahead of this guy, Nick Sorensen, they couldn't be stopped.
What is good on the defense right now?
That's what I'm saying.
They don't stop the run up the middle. They don't stop the run to the edges. They give up big chunk plays on third and long. They can't get to the quarterback. So I thought the secondary was going to be a strength. It's not. Charvarius has gotten cooked. They run these rub routes and these little pick plays over and over and over and over again, and there's miscommunications, or guys are slow getting out of these combination routes. Like, they don't have any two high safety looks. They always have a box safety in, and so it's one single high safety getting torched left and right. They tackle guys after they get beat, like Isaac Yiddum did on the 48-yard play. Yiddum, Yiddum, it doesn't matter. Make a play.
Put some respect on his name, man.
I mean, again, another veteran third corner who stinks. They've done it year after year. So I just, there's not an element outside of Fred Warner that is elite on this defense. There's not one element.
They missed Drake Greenlaw, that's for sure.
Oh, massively.
They missed Drake Greenlaw. Let's go to Harmon in Danville. Harmon, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
All right. Well, hey, tough loss yesterday. I got two quick points here. So it's around the trenches on both sides, man. The offense had a chance to put their foot on their throat yesterday and end the game with a touchdown. They couldn't do it. Settled for a field goal, man. You let stuff like that happen, and teams think that they can stay with you. Teams think that they could continue to play the game, man. Brock had a good game. He had some pocket time, but you couldn't finish the game in the trenches when we wanted to. And then, look, on defense, man, you said it. Front seven hasn't looked good since D'Amico Ryans became the Texans head coach.
Yep.
54 is inspiring. Nick Bosa will have games. But, man, John Lynch always says that the defensive line is the equalizer in sports. The high school down the street from me, San Ramon Valley High School, currently has a better defensive line than the Niners, man. So I think that we're going to be good, but geez, we got to turn the urgency level up. So appreciate you guys. Thanks for all you do for the community. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Harmon. Thank you for the call. Shasky, this is the thing. So the Patriots are going to come to town next Sunday. We know what they do. They don't have a lot of talent. One thing they're going to do is they're going to try to control the trenches, and they're going to run the football. They're going to run it with Stevenson down your freaking throat. And at this point, it's a matter of pride and will. When I saw the most disappointing aspect, when I saw that effort after the missed field goal, because I saw it in real time, and I went back home, and I watched it about five times, and I said, I cannot believe that was the effort of the pass rush from Nick Bosa and Javon Hargrave on the first play of the possession after you missed a 55-yard field goal to save the game. This is what defenses want, right? You want a chance to close a game. It's your time. And Stafford drops back with the cleanest pocket in the world and drops a dime to two catch 2-2 Atwell. And we laughed at 2-2 Atwell last week. They could throw the ball to 2-2 Atwell. Yeah, okay. Well, and they did.
He's over, got the Teddy Ginn Jr. He's open over the top all day. It's 50-50 whether he's going to catch it. I mean, the guy, he killed him. And he dropped multiple balls yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Stafford should have had more yards and more catches from his wide receivers, and they were dropping balls. I thought the tight end.
Corby Parkinson.
Parkinson dropped multiple balls.
Yep. I tip my hat to Stafford. The guy is playing some good ass football at 36 years old. He's playing some damn good ball.
Your point about, like, the DC and, like, hiring from within. You can only hire from within so many times, right? And so eventually you have to get outside influence. To me, when you run the same thing for 6 or 7 years, eventually it just gets stale. And you need to upgrade personnel. Like, we could talk scheme till we're blue in the face. I don't think the personnel's that great. So that's another conversation that goes hand in hand. But, like, I look at the Packers. LaFleur had his buddy as the DC. Yep. Everyone said the DC wasn't good. They had to go outside of the building to go get someone. They got a guy who was running the Boston College for multiple years. He got fired. Yep. Obviously, they have Bill O'Brien now at Boston College. They brought in a completely different guy. It's early. We'll see what it looks like. But they went outside the building. He brought in a whole new influence. Let's see it. Philadelphia went outside the building to go get Vic Fangio. And they brought in some new influence. All right. The Bears, who fired both coordinators. Yep. This is Eberflus, who cuts his teeth on the defensive side. All right. That's his puppy. He went outside the building to go get someone. Now, I'm not saying you got to do it every time. But when you've hired from within over and over and over again, and you have the situation with Steve Wilks where you went outside, but really you wanted him to do what you already were doing.
You went outside and didn't allow him to hire one of his assistants. You basically say, Steve Wilks, you're running our defense, call the plays. And he's sitting there thinking, well, I've never run this game before. And he told us midway through, and it's like, I'll never forget the drop. Well, I'm still learning the defense. It's like, hey, Steve, we're week 9, buddy. We're still learning the defense. This isn't good. So to your point about going outside, because you know what? Another point, too, Shasky, about that is that now these teams, whether it's Seattle, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Philly, whether it's the Rams, no matter what, they see the Niners at the top of the NFC for so many years. Oh, that's their scheme? Let's start the draft and build our teams in a way to beat this game. So now when you look at Detroit and Montgomery and Gibbs, they're going to run the ball down your throat. The Niners couldn't stop Detroit. Detroit really blew that game. Niners couldn't stop Detroit. You look at the way Minnesota's running the football. Oh, we could run the football against that scheme. They did it against Houston and Niners back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. So to your point about hiring outside and getting somebody else, the wide nine, tuck it in because Bosa's not a speed guy. But, so, like, don't you get frustrated with the wide nine, too? Bosa's lined up so far outside. It takes him a million years to get there to the quarterback.
they run these stretch plays to the outside, and they have no speed on the edges. They don't set the edge with either D end, and then their linebackers right. within space. So when you don't have Dre Greenlaw covering up a lot of these holes from the D line,
yep.
everything gets exposed. The other element, and I'm telling
think
you,
about that.
Look around the league. We spent all week last week. What did I bring up to you before it even got said by Mel Kiper Jr.? The whole league is not allowing big plays because they're playing two safeties deep. The Niners do the exact opposite, and they give up big plays left right. and right.
Well, think about the wide
high. They go single high, I and they're getting abused. Yeah,
they're getting abused. Whether it's too high, single high, they get abused. And
well, because they have box safeties. They don't have a free safety.
That Mel Kiper Jr. take is not aging well whatsoever. I saw a lot of deep shots yesterday, or teams at least taking shots. It's nothing wrong with too high. You just adjust. The whole wide high, think about that. The defensive ends are lined up outside of the tackles by about 2 yards, and you're still losing outside containment. Like, you're already in a position to set the edge. If anything, the run play is going to get funneled back into the middle of the field. And yet they're still getting outside. And you got T-ends at the hash marks. It's unbelievable.
Deion Lamore is stuffing the run better than my two linebackers.
Yeah. And but you know
not
what?
Named Warner.
But you know what, though? The Rams made a total adjustment. Oh, you're going to be in your nickel?
Exactly.
We're going to run at Deion Lamore. You're going to take one of the linebackers off the field? Let's squeeze in one more call before the injury report. Let's get to Adam in the city. And we're going to get everybody. This is your show. 888-957-9570. Adam, I know you were at the game in L.A., and I know you're highly disappointed about the outcome of that game down there at beautiful SoFi Stadium.
I'll give the credit that SoFi is a great stadium, really easy to get out with cars in the parking. I'll give them the credit for that. But my God, like, after seeing what the Vikings did to the Texans yesterday, I wasn't as mad about that loss last week. That defense in Minnesota is real. However, so then going into this game against the Rams, they're down all their wide receivers. You're up 14-0, then you're up 21-7. I mean, that drop by Ronnie Bell is the, I mean, I was up in the nosebleeds, but I saw that pass. I'm like, what a throw. And you just dropped it. It's like, why is this guy still getting playing time? He hasn't had a catch or made an impact since Giants week 3 last year when he had that touchdown catch. Like, and the defense is just bad. It's like, is it Yadam? He's not a good cornerback. He's getting torched on every play. The special teams, yet again, is costing us the game. What's new? It's just like a rinse and repeat of, like, what we continue to fail at year after year. We don't address the issues.
Nope.
And it just keeps playing out the same way. And it's just like that was like one of the worst losses I've ever seen. And, I mean, you guys got to, like, get right and fix it up for the Patriots, because that's not going to be a cakewalk.
Nope.
They run the ball well, and there's just a lot of problems right now.
Man, this is a tough stretch. Good call, Adam. Good call. This stretch, Patriots, Cardinals, Seahawks on a short week. Is it Chiefs, then Cowboys, or is it Cowboys and Chiefs? I forget. But that's the stretch.
The Cardinals put up 40-something on this same Rams team. I don't know what happened. It's like that. I'm telling you, I go back to that McKivitt sack. That McKivitt sack strip felt like it changed the game.
It was so huge before halftime.
I know everyone goes to the Ayuk drop.
No, it was the McKivitt.
Because they were going to score a field goal before the end of half.
Yep,
they were primed. They were marching.
It's still the momentum back.
Purdy made a great scramble run to the right side. He got a first down. I'm like, all right, here we go. You're at the 45. Trent walks off the field. I go, oh, God, Jalen Moore. And it's McKivitt's on the other side.
Oh, I guess it's a... It's appropriate to say that division games are just different. Because that division game played out so damn differently than I thought it would. I honestly thought the Niners were going to roll. I thought they were going to beat down the Rams, man. I was completely wrong about that. 14-0, commanding lead, even commanding lead in the third quarter. Yeah, control of the football game. Unbelievable. By the way, River Islands guest line, we're going to go guest-free today. But shout out to River Islands anyway, out in Lathrop. I wanted to be out in Lathrop yesterday, just tuck away and get the hell out the Bay Area for a second. Is it a time for you to discover the islands in Lathrop? River Islands in Lathrop, man. It is awesome. All right. Who's injured? My psyche.
It's time for the injury report. Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Oh, TC at Sacramento, how's he feeling? How's Robin San Bruno feeling? How's Robin feeling out there in the city? Tony, Clark the Shark, can't
open the cap. Downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
Oh boy, maybe. Kyle Shanahan announced a pair of minor injuries yesterday. after the loss to the Rams. Javon Hargrave, slowed down by a tricep injury during a game that Shanahan called a contusion. D. Winters, he was forced to exit yesterday's game with an ankle injury. So, best ability is availability, and D. Winters has yet to be available for the 49ers this season. Both injuries are not expected to be serious, but they got to get some other guys back. George Kittle, is Charvarius Ward 100%? Where is he at right now? It's a bad, bad loss, and this Monday stinks. It does. It's a very stinky and smelly Monday after the Niners lose to the Rams 27-24. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerz in Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Shasky, want to switch gears and just talk about the sweep that the Giants just laid at the heads of the Royals? I'm kidding. We're going to stick on this. Niners.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Not going to sugarcoat it. Hey, wait, can you give me the full job, please?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Hey, that's not what we're going to do with the 49ers. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We can sit here and do a sugarcoating job, but we're not going to do that. Your call's coming up next on the Rose.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
I would rather be the White Sox.